Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast. I am, as always, your host, Michael Boldea, and I would like to thank you for taking the time to listen to my musings. Hopefully, you'll get something out of it. I have to preface today's program by saying this is not a live broadcast. It is recorded because here in Wisconsin, it's due to storm, and it's storming, and it's snowing, and everything's icky and cold, so came into the studio a little earlier, recorded this for you, but it's fresh enough where everything that we'll be talking about, hopefully, today is relevant to this particular week. To those of you that I met while in Indiana, I know some of you do listen to the program, so it was lovely meeting you. Thank you for all the kind words. Thank you for the encouragement. And may God bless you. It's good to know that a man's labors are appreciated or at least not ignored. So the fact that somebody listens to the words I speak, well, you know, heartwarming kind of. There's a lot of stuff to get into, and I'm afraid none of it's really good. This week's program is going to be one of those programs that we'll continue to just ratchet up the angry to the point that, I don't know, maybe I'll just throw my microphone through a window or something. Who knows? It'll be a surprise for you and me both, because we're living in a time where everything seems to be upside down. It's just ludicrous. We've gotten to this point, and I don't see a way back, say, for something very drastic and violent and bloody and final. Call it final. Because there really is, I don't think there's walking it back anymore. We've crossed the Rubicon, and we've burnt the boats. We've burnt the bridges. I ran into the story a couple of days ago. It was published November 5th, and then I went back to find it, and I couldn't find it anywhere. So I spent a good portion of last night just going through all the stuff that I went through the history, and bit by bit finding my way back to this particular article, because it's something that is worth discussing. I don't know why it was taken down so quickly. I don't know why it's so difficult to find. But, I will read you the title. Then we're going to get into the meat of it and have a little bit of discussion. Because while the church is busy stabbing at each other's eye over whether or not Kanye West is saved or whether John MacArthur was naughty by telling the former yoga instructor to go home, the world is still the world, and the devil is making advances. We get caught up on tertiary issues that really we have no definitive answer on. And I'm not talking about the whole Beth Moore thing. I'm talking more about this other thing where a man basically renounces his past life, puts out a gospel record, and believers are getting in line to try to play whack-a-mole with him because somehow they know that his repentance is not authentic. I don't know how they would know that, but that's a different story altogether. If we have time in another program, in another hour, to get into that, we're picking the wrong battles. But I think we're picking the battles where we know we're not going to have resistance, where we know we're not going to have pushback. We're picking the battles that aren't really battles. you know, putting out a six-page expose on Kanye West isn't really a battle. I mean, the man's honest enough to tell you his past. He's honest enough to tell you everything he did up until the point that Jesus found him. But we like regurgitating things. We like regurgitating history for the sake of regurgitating history. And it's of no benefit to anybody. While we're doing that, well, Christian Hymn Society releases queer hymns for, and this thing keeps growing. Remember back in the day? Oh, I don't know, back in the day being a couple years ago when it was just, what, LGBTQ? Well, wouldn't you know it, they've added letters and numbers and other things to it. So now it's LGBTQIA2S+. I kid you not. This is not the Babylon Bee. This is not me attempting to be a farceur, even though I've been told I have a very apropos comical tint. This is the actual title of the article we're about to get into. Christian Hymn Society, let that sink in. The Christian Hymn Society releases queer hymns for LGBTQIA2S+. What the last few ones are, I don't know. Apparently there's like 78 genders, 83 genders. Nobody's happy in their own skin. Everybody thinks God made a mistake. You know, the usual. But it's this attempt at blending Christianity, at blending scripture, at blending scriptural things with what God himself defined as abomination. And once again, they're at it. A group known as the Hymn Society has released a collection titled Songs for the Holy Other. Hymns affirming the LGBTQIA2S+ community for liturgical use in these United States and Canada. Remember a couple of weeks ago I told you that we were going to start doing top five reasons why God should judge America this week? This will probably be number one with a bullet this week. So if you're looking for that list, well, today's number one is the Hymn Society releasing their Songs for the Holy Other, hymns affirming the LGBTQIA2S+ community. And of course, this is for liturgical use. That means it's for use in the liturgy. That means it's for churches in these United States and Canada. Among the nearly 50 queer hymns featured in the collection are God of Queer Transgressive Spaces. That just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? So one of the songs is called God of Queer Transgressive Spaces. Another is called Lovely Needy People. Quirky, Queer, and Wonderful is another title. And The Kingdom of God is the Queerest of Nations. So, now, I'm not one to throw the name blasphemy around too readily. I'm not one to look for blasphemy behind every bush and every tree. But I would submit and surmise to you that if anything is blasphemy, this is. The titles alone, the title of the hymnal alone, this is blasphemous. You can't get around what it is. In the name of God, these people are perverting everything that is righteous and pure. In the name of God, these people are perverting what ought to be sacrosanct. The Ecumenical Nonprofit Hymn Society released the hymnal in July, but it was publicized just last week by Anglican Journal. The publication of the Anglican Church of Canada, which praised the work for offering further potential for music as a source of affirmation and inclusion. But yes, our problem is indubitably Kanye West and whether or not he's really saved. That really is our problem, isn't it? We have the Anglican Church of Canada praising this work as a source of affirmation and inclusion. This work including titles such as Quirky, Queer, and Wonderful, or God of Queer Transgressive Spaces. But hey, our battle is with a man who was a rapper who decided that I got kids. My life is going down the toilet. I am unhappy. Everything around me tastes bitter. Maybe I should do like my mama once said. Maybe I should do like my daddy keeps saying and give my heart to Jesus. And he did. And there was a change there. And he confesses to it. And rather than celebrate the fact that someone may have found Jesus, we're the first ones there standing with baseball bats ready to take a swing. But hey, never mind the Anglican Church of Canada. No, no, no. Hands off. You see, you don't really understand that people need affirmation. No, people need repentance. They don't need affirmation. You don't need to validate mental illness. You don't need to validate insanity. You need to call people to repentance. But here is the Anglican Church doing its best to praise the work that is the Songs of the Holy Other. Sidney Bouliard Coyle, the gender nonconformist music director at St. Paul's Anglican Church in Essex, Ontario. I'm going to read that again to you in case you missed it, in case you were reaching for a cup of coffee or a barf bag, you know, one of the two. Sidney Bouliard Coyle, the gender nonconformist music director at St. Paul's Anglican Church in Essex, Ontario, called the collection an amazing resource for music directors and for priests who are looking for hymns that are affirming for the LGBT community. I'm going to highlight the relevant portion. Gender nonconformist music director at St. Paul's Anglican Church. And surprise, surprise, color me surprised, he believes that this collection of heresy and blasphemy is quite possibly what priests and churches and choir directors have been looking for because, hey, they affirm a perversion the Bible speaks against. And you know how it goes. It's not about what the Bible says. It's about how I feel. And I feel as though my sin and the fact that I'm a gender nonconformist individual is perfectly okay and legitimate with God, even though, you know, that silly old book says otherwise. But, you know, we'll do away with that eventually. Eventually, the Songs for the Holy Others, hymns affirming the LGBTQIA 2S plus community will become our gospel. We'll sing songs from it. We'll tell poems from it. We'll even quote it and say, this is the new scripture, because we do whatever we want. And you know what? The sheeple aren't saying a thing, are they? This Anglican Church of Essex, Ontario, I'm assuming has parishioners. This Anglican Church in Essex, Ontario, I'm assuming realizes that Sidney Bouliard Coyle is gender nonconforming. And not one went to the bishop or the priest or whatever person they have in charge and go, hey, buddy, this dude's a little weird. Do you really think he should be leading the choir? I'm sorry, am I allowed to call him a she, a he, a what, a Sydney? Even Sydney! I don't know if Sydney's a boy or a girl. Because, you know, it's a gender-neutral name. So I may have just offended Sidney Bouliard Coyle by calling him or her or her or him or it. But not one of the parishioners went out and go, hey, I don't believe this brings honor or glory to God. I believe we could find somebody else to lead the choir, that if a stranger walks in off the street and they see Sydney in all its splendor with a beard and a wig and a dress, they won't scratch their heads and wonder, what have I happened upon? Nor would they go, all right, this is too weird for me and I've been on an acid trip for the last 3 weeks. So, just a thought. The preface for Songs for the Holy Other laments the building of walls and calls for dismantling these walls through music. And the president of Mexico called for hugs, not bullets. Apparently the cartel didn't get the message either. In our society and in our churches, we continue to build walls. Marking out and in, the text reads, we continue to mark boundaries of us and them, of normal and other. Well, yeah, because that's how you know when someone's normal and someone's other than normal. That's when you know that someone's normal and someone needs psychiatric treatment. That's how you know that someone's normal or someone needs to be, you know, put in a padded cell. And really dug down to see if they're a threat or a danger to themselves or others. We cannot keep normalizing mental illness, kids. We can't. You already have, female sports just completely obliterated by boys pretending to be girls. What's next? Anyway. We're going to keep reading about this hymnal that was missing, that we longed for yet did not know we longed for. Songs of the Holy Other aims to provide congregations working to dismantle these walls with a toolbox of hymns by and for those who identify as members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, pansexual, transgender, non-binary, queer, questioning, intersex, asexual, aromantic, two-spirit, and other sexual gender minority. In parentheses, LGBTQI2S+ community and their allies, it proclaims. What's next? They should probably add a P on the end of that plus, huh? Because, man, the pedophiles are just waiting to be normalized. Because it's love, isn't it? What do you have against love? Love is love. So this thing is going to get longer. By the time they're done, if they have their way, if the church keeps sitting there silent, chewing its fingernails to nubs and wondering what's going to happen. If we keep doing absolutely nothing and watching culture collapse in on itself, there's probably going to be another 7-8 letters and no Roman numerals and pluses and minuses added to this thing. Two-spirit, asexual, aromantic, questioning, intersex, non-binary, queer, pansexual. This hymnal is for you. Now, pray tell, why don't they write a hymnal for, I don't know, alcoholics? Why don't they write a hymnal for, people hooked on meth, on drugs? People who are addicted to various substances. You can have the hymnal for the crack addicted, cocaine addicted, heroin addicted. But see, nobody identifies as an addict of heroin or cocaine or crack or whatever else. understand that this sexual perversion goes deeper. People identify themselves by these labels. They become these things. They find their identity in these things. And because it becomes their identity, they refuse to surrender that and just be called a Christian. So I'm so sorry. If you think you can retain your homosexuality, your lesbianism, your pansexualism, your, what is it, two-spiritedness, and still claim the name of Christ, you're fooling yourself. But we've created a cottage industry. We've created a safe space where our perversions can continue to consume us, where our perversions can continue to control us, and we have the benefit of fire insurance. Because I go to church and my church tells me I'm A-okay. Why, this week we sang from Songs of the Holy Other. And our gender nonconforming music director said it was a real blessing to his her heart. Again, what battles are we picking? What battles are we fighting? Because this is true. This is not the Babylon Bee. I'm going to have to preface the things I read to you more often than not with, this is not the Babylon Bee. This is how insane it has gotten. And yet, what battles are we choosing? I'm with John. Well, I'm with her. I don't care. Maybe he was right. Maybe she should go home. Maybe he was a little mean. Oh, well. Maybe Beth Moore should take up yoga again. I don't know. But this is not a conversation I'm willing to have when all this other stuff is happening. I'm not going to allow it to consume my day, my time, my resources, and my mental real estate when this is what is happening in supposed churches. So I'm sorry. Beth, you're a big girl. John, you're a big boy. Make up. If not, God help you both. What do you want me to say? The Bible's pretty clear on women preachers. I don't know if she crossed the line or not. But hey, bigger fish to fry. That's all I'm saying here. Because you know what? The Songs of the Holy Other is coming to a church near you. And I guarantee you, if you stand up and say, I don't think we should be singing from this. I mean, the titles kind of, you know, sound a little blasphemous. Look at this. God of Queer Transgressive Spaces. And the Kingdom of God is the Queerest of Nations. That sounds a little blasphemous. Bigot! Bigot, bigot, bigot! How dare you not affirm and validate? How dare you not embrace diversity? Because we didn't call it out when it started and we let it metastasize. We let it take root and grow. And you have people that don't know God. I'm sorry. I don't believe there's anyone saved in the Anglican Church in Essex, Ontario. If they sit there and allow this to take place in their congregation, righteousness should be bold enough to stand against this foolishness. Righteous anger should have made people walk out. But that's okay. Sydney Brilliard Coyle, the gender nonconforming music director at St. Paul's Anglican Church in Essex, Ontario, say that this is exactly the kind of resource priests and music directors needed to affirm the LGBT community. I guess Sydney's a little older because Sydney missed out on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things. Apparently, when Sydney became gender nonconforming, there was just LGBT. Hey, Sydney, they've added a Q, an I, an A, a 2, an S, and a plus. So if you're going to stay woke, girl. boy, it, whatever. You know what? And I know that some of you are thinking to yourself, oh, thank goodness this is happening in Canada. You know the Canadians. How long do you think it'll be before it comes here? How long do you think it'll be before you start hearing about these things on your own soil? Remember, there was a transgender pastor that was given the spiritual reins of a Baptist church here in these United States recently. So let's not pretend that we're more righteous than the Canadians. Just saying. The preface also explains that the title of the collection, Songs for the Holy Other, is a self-conscious claiming of otherness as holy and beloved of God. Why? Because you affirm as such? The fact that you are affirm that you are holy and beloved of God, even though you are living in sin, is just as laughable as you affirming you're a boy when you were born as a girl. Your affirmation does nothing to change the truth. Biologically speaking, you are still a she, even though you call yourself Bob or Sydney, the gender nonconforming music director at Paul's Anglican Church in Essex, Ontario. Just because you think that you are holy and beloved of God, if you did not repent, if you did not turn away, if you did not renounce the sinfulness to which you were a slave, and you are still a slave to the sinfulness, yet affirm your own holiness and the fact that you're beloved of God, Repent ye therefore. Be holy. Be righteous. These are all things that are written in the book that we must comply with in order to be received and reconciled unto God. We who have been labeled as holy other are claiming our holiness. Yes, you are. It's like the chunky girls who can't stop eating bonbons and Cinnabons, looking in the mirror going, I'm thin. You're not, neither am I. But at least I'm not self-delusional enough to look in the mirror and lie to myself. Listen to this. It's mental gymnastics is what it is. We who have been labeled as holy other are claiming our holiness and reclaiming our otherness as a prophetic witness to the church. Again, the only word that comes to mind, the only word that is applicable here is blasphemy. But brother, you're being so harsh. How can we reach them if you're going to be so harsh? The only way you can reach them is by telling them the truth. The only way you can reach someone is by boldly proclaiming what the word says regarding sin, repentance, regeneration, rebirth, transformation. You cannot coddle sin and hope that eventually they'll get it. Because once their sin is validated, once a spiritual authority tells them, it's A-okay. Look, Sydney's a gender nonconforming music director at St. Paul's, and she seems to be very happy. Sydney says she's saved. He's saved. It's saved. You know, Sydney reclaimed her holiness and her otherness, his otherness, as a prophetic witness to the church. If this is the church's new prophetic witness, maybe it's time to burn the church down. I don't know. Because if this is the new church, let's just stop calling it a church. This is perversion. This is blasphemy. This is the devil having his way with ignorant people who don't want to live for God but want the fire insurance nevertheless. One of the hymns, God of Many Faces. Don't you just love these titles? They're so expressive. By Amy Cerniglia, calls for the worship of the God of many genders, whose multiplicity is reflected in all of creation. Amy, I know you've been busy growing out your armpit hair and smelling like patchouli and body odor, but there's no gender multiplicity reflected in all of creation. When creation begun, Amy, I know because you haven't read the book, because why would you? You created your own God, the God of many faces. Amy and her armpit hair sure love it. But see, in the book that at least, you know, the Anglican Church of Essex, who have Sidney the gender nonconformist as their music director, the book that they say guides them spiritually. Well, in that book, Amy, it wasn't a God of many faces whose gender multiplicity is reflected in all of creation. God created man. Then God created woman. Or as they might say in New Orleans, God created man and God created woe man. So, Amy, I understand that marijuana has been shown to deplete your mental prowess, but I hope you can get this. There is no multiplicity of gender. There are two genders, both of which God testifies as having created in the beginning. God created man, God created woman. Period, Amy. He didn't create gender nonconformists. He didn't create pansexuals. He didn't create aromantics and two spirits and intersex and asexuals. These are all deviations from the norm. They're either a spiritual disease or a mental disorder. It's not something God created, Amy. Amy, I understand it's Canada, it's cold. But stop braiding your armpit hair and get out into the real world. Look around the world, pretty baby, as a very popular song so states. And see that there are but men and women. And men and women joined in holy matrimony beget children who grow up to be men or women. So you can take your nonsense about your God of many faces and the fact that his gender multiplicity is reflected in all of creation. And I don't know, visit Saskatchewan. So that was the first article. It only gets better from here, because yesterday, a story that many powerful people hoped would stay buried, no pun intended, many powerful people hoped that would stay dead, resurfaced again, because there is actually hot mic audio of an ABC News anchor who not only goes into detail about the things they had on one Jeffrey Epstein, but that she believed he didn't kill himself, and that ABC News, the same people who were quick to judge and convict Judge Kavanaugh for being a multiple rapist and a serial rapist and a gang rapist, that same ABC said they didn't have enough information. It did not meet their standards for journalistic integrity. to publish a story on one Jeffrey Epstein, who a lawyer in the case is said to have called the most prolific pedophile in American history. Let that sink in. We're going to read a little bit about this, and you know what? There's no good guys in this story. This reporter lady is not the good guy. She said she had the story 3 years ago, and the reason they caught her on a hot mic was because she was angry that ABC killed the story, because she could have been a whole lot further along in her career had she been the one to break the story. Now, what's getting lost in all the hubbub is the fact that ABC executives, along with Miss Amy Robach, allowed a pedophile to continue preying on children for another 3 years because they thought it more politically expedient to bury the story than expose him for the pedophile that he was. Like I said, there's no good guys in this story. She was just caught on a hot mic lamenting that her career wasn't further along. Because she had the goods, baby. She had pictures. She had testimony. She had interviews. She had everything. And then the royal family in England got in on the act and asked that they kill the story because one of their princes was all caught up with Jeff Epstein. Then more pressure was put upon ABC. And they effectively killed the story of, as I said, a man who is called the most prolific pedophile in American history. Now, the reason I bring this up, because I'm sure you've heard about it, and I'm sure, because it's made the rounds, it's a very explosive hot mic take, because this reporter also says, there's 100% chance this man didn't kill himself. I don't believe he killed himself. Yes, he was murdered in jail while in U.S. custody. But the reason that I want to talk about this, the reason that I'm bringing it up, is because I want you to understand who's trying to moralize to you. I want you to understand who's trying to talk down to you. I want you to understand who's trying to make you feel ashamed of being a believer, ashamed of being who you are, because you have a certain moral stance on abortion or whatever else it might be. These are the people who are trying to browbeat you into silence, who are beating their chest, moralizing to you. People who allowed a pedophile to continue preying on children for another 3 years because, as this reporter put it, they didn't want to lose out on the coverage of the royal wedding between William and Kate. These are the people who are trying to give you lectures on how unchristian you are. These are the people who sit there night after night looking their noses down and going, I don't understand how people can still support this administration. I don't understand. Oh, my, I don't. How could good, decent people? These are the people doing it. They aided and abetted a pedophile 3 years from the moment he could have been locked up. Perverts, pederasts, pedophiles, people with no integrity or moral backbone, people whose only interest is their climb on the ladder of success. This is who the media is. Don't think it's just ABC. Every single one of them is corrupt to the marrow. Every single one of them has buried stories. But the reason this one is so much more egregious is that it allowed a pedophile to prey on children. ABC News allowed a pedophile to prey on children by killing the story on Jeffrey Epstein because it would hit at a lot of powerful men and women. And because they wanted the video footage of the royal wedding. I mean, come on, it's the royal wedding. These are the people trying to get on soapboxes and tell you how immoral you are for taking a stand against immorality. It's astounding. It's mind-boggling. And the people that uncovered this, this crew called Project Veritas. And you know what? They've uncovered some very brutal things about the media, culture, society, and everything that's going on today. Because understand that there's a narrative that they're trying to establish. Understand that everything that's being fed to you is being fed to you for a reason. And once in a while, we see glimpses behind the mask. We see who these people really are, and it turns our stomach. It makes us pause. It makes us go, dear God, these are ghouls. These are monsters. Imagine, just imagine, not running with a story about a pedophile who is preying on children actively because you wanted to get footage of the royal wedding. William and Kate, they brought in the numbers. It's not about breaking news anymore. It's not about exposing deceit. It's about numbers. What's our market share? Because the more eyes we have glued to our station, the more money we'll get in the coffers through advertisement. So they're willing to let a pedophile skate and continue to prey on children for another 3 years because even with all the evidence and the interviews and the testimony, it did not meet their journalistic standard. Funny thing, how is it that certain things that are so blatantly false meet the journalistic standard, the rigorous journalistic standard of ABC? Well, things like this don't. ABC aired footage of some guys in Kentucky blowing up a cornfield and said that this is what we were doing in Syria. They got called out on it. They had to apologize. Journalistic integrity at its best, don't you think? So, Project Veritas released an undercover video Tuesday in which ABC News anchor Amy Robach, or Robach, don't know how to say it, is seen alleging the corporate news network spiked a bombshell report on Jeffrey Epstein 3 years ago. Like I said, there is no good guy. There's only bad guys. In this story, she's not the good guy. She could have come forward 3 years ago, but she wanted the job security. She didn't want to give up a cush gig, so who cares if a few kids got raped? Who cares if a few kids got murdered? People are making kids all the time. There's only one Amy. So she's not the good guy. She was just frustrated that, man, she could have been so much further along if it wasn't for the heads at ABC burying the story 3 years ago. Robach, or Bash, co-anchor of Good Morning America, this is your lying, propagandizing media here to brainwash you into believing nonsense. Good Morning America is seen on video expressing frustration to an ABC News producer that a witness brought forth damning information regarding Epstein, but the network opted against airing the report. I've had this interview with Virginia Robash, a scene explaining of the alleged Epstein victim. We would not put it on the air. I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Really? Because, see, this is what she said, and then later, ABC had to put out a press release saying, oh, it just didn't meet our, you know, journalistic integrity and whatnot. It's rigorous, I tell you. It's rigorous. Journalistic standards are rigorous. The palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew. That's who it was. Prince Andrew, noted pedophile of England, who apparently has retired from public life because of all these allegations. So, yes, the palace got in on the act because, you know, they have to protect their own. Who cares about rape kids? It's not as though they were kids, you know, of the aristocracy. It's not as though royal kids were being raped. It's you peasants' kids. Who cares about those? We have to protect the reputation of our royalty. So the palace found out that we had our whole allegation about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways, the anchor continued. I had it all 3 years ago. Goofer, or how you say it, I don't know, this woman that she interviewed, has long alleged she was delivered to Britain's Prince Andrew for paid sex as a teenager. But this is who's moralizing to you. How dare you still drive a car? How dare you still eat meat that is not your dead loved one? How dare you still breathe oxygen? Don't you want to save the planet? How dare you not open your borders and embrace everyone coming in with diseases that were eradicated 100 years ago? How dare you? These are the people moralizing to you. Never forget it. Never forget who's trying to moralize to you. The jet-setting middle son of Queen Elizabeth II was a longtime friend of the financier who killed himself. They got to throw that. He killed himself by someone else's hands. He took a man's hands, put them around his throat, and choked himself with them. Anyway. Yes, the jet-setting middle son of Queen Elizabeth II was a longtime friend of the... No, he wasn't a financier. He was a facilitator. We talked about this. He facilitated for the appetites of the sexually debased. And he made a lot of money doing it because his clientele were people like Britain's Prince Andrew and William Jefferson Clinton, who apparently had a big appetite because he flew to the private island 27 times. Just saying, it's all documented. But the prince strenuously denies any knowledge of criminal behavior by Epstein and has described himself as appalled. Appalled, I tell you, by allegations from many women who accused Epstein of sexual abuse. Among them is this lady named Jufer. She has said she was 15 years old, working at President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago Club when she was recruited to perform sex acts on Epstein. Jufer said in a sworn affidavit she was flown to Epstein's private plane to his properties in New Mexico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, Paris, and New York, and said meetings were also arranged for sex in London and elsewhere by Prince Andrew. Buckingham Palace officials previously denied that Andrew had any sexual involvement with Jufer. The palace said it had no additional comment. May I remind you This is the cesspool of individuals that is attempting to pontificate and moralize to you. And the news site that I'm on, was somebody left a comment that was sad and funny all at the same time. It said, breaking news, Amy Robach drove her car off a cliff tomorrow. But see, the fact that it's now an open secret that nobody believes Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. The fact that things are coming out about these people who are supposed to be above you, better than you, superior to you in every way. That's why you're supposed to listen to them. The fact that their depravity runs so deep shouldn't just surprise you. It should anger you. Because they're not going to stop trying to moralize to you. They're not going to stop trying to tell you what a horrible human being you are. For living your life. For enjoying a hamburger. Now, the audio continued. And the same reporter who was very angry that she was not the one to break the story says, so do I think he was killed? 100%, yes, I do, Robach said of Epstein. He made his whole living blackmailing people. There were a lot of men in those planes, a lot of men who visited that island, a lot of powerful men who came into that apartment, the anchor continues. And they made it seem as though he made that suicide attempt 2 weeks earlier, but his lawyers claim that he was roughed up by his cellmate around the neck. That was all like to plant the seed, she says. That's why I really believe it. Like, really believe it. So this is a reporter who I guarantee you, if you go back through the archives, we'll find her reporting that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself with a straight face. See, the only time these people will really tell you what they believe is when you get them on a hot mic, is when they don't think anyone is listening. Except for, you know, guys who are complete morons like Beto O'Rourke who just blurt out, yeah, we're coming to take your guns, so what? But, you know, he's no longer a candidate for the presidency. And I don't think anybody wants to be running with him, so he's not going to be vice president anywhere. But, yes, here we are. This is what is happening. These are the people who are trying to tell you that you are a horrible human being for not doing exactly what they say. And to top it all off, the circus is going on the road, kids. House Democrats announce public impeachment hearing next week. So get your popcorn ready. Wednesday, November 13th, they're taking the show on the road. The hearings are going public. And again, I must stress this because I've had the conversation with more than one person. You can hear somebody say something, a sentence. And because of your prejudices and because of your preconceived ideas, you can interpret it one way or the other. I don't care how some bureaucrat interpreted something they overheard by a third party. You have the transcripts. You can read them for yourself. There was no more said than what was said in the transcripts. So this is all much ado about nothing. And I think that come 2020, the Democrats are going to pay a heavy price for this. But until then, guess what? The people's work doesn't get done. We have a circus, a clown show, masquerading as the U.S. Congress, and the world is watching. And they're seeing the division, and they're seeing the frustration, and they're seeing the lunatics running the asylum. And they're realizing that the more this goes on, the weaker we become as a nation. The more this goes on, the more fractured we become as a people. No, I think it's going to be an absolute gas to see these hearings come next week. But it's not moving the nation forward by any means. So this is the things that we talked about this week. Was going to talk about American citizens apparently getting killed in Mexico, 9 so far, just driving through the mountainous region south of the New Mexico border, and cartel gunmen decided, hey, good day to kill some gringos. Donald Trump offered aid, and of course, the current president of Mexico, the man most notably quoted as saying, we need hugs, we do not need bullets, we need hugs. But apparently, the cartel didn't get the message. So 9 Americans are dead. And the Mexican president has rejected Donald Trump's offer of sending in the boys to do the job, to fix things. Because I guarantee you, if they started cleaning house in Mexico, two-thirds of the government would have to go to prison or die, too, because it doesn't get any more corrupt than that. Everything revolves around money, and the drug cartels have money to spare. So when you do the math, you realize why El Presidente does not want Americans to come and interfere with this. I'm so sorry your people die, but you cannot come clean it. No, because it's tens of billions of dollars. And they're not going to do anything, absolutely anything, to endanger that. So maybe if there's more news on that, we'll talk about it next week. For now, I thank you for joining us. I thank you for listening. May God bless you. May God keep you. Thank you for your prayers and your support. And Gino, if you've got anything to say, the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you, Michael. A couple things from our meeting this weekend in Indiana on YouTube. The Hand of Help YouTube channel is Hand of Help Warnings. And if you want to check out the message on revival, just type in Michael Baldea and then revival, and that'll take you to the YouTube message. Also, please visit our website at handofhelp.com, especially the messages that are on there, the work we do in Romania with orphans and the widows, and our winter programs that we're doing. And if you want to support our ministry, you can go on the website and check out the links for donating and helping or sponsor a child or be involved in other ways. So we appreciate all that. And please keep us in prayer. And again, you can go to handofhelp.com. If you have prayer requests, send them to handofhelpoffice@aol.com. And this message that we've recorded today will be played tomorrow night on our weekly broadcast, Light of Truth, at 6 o'clock Central Time. And then it'll be put up on our YouTube channel. Thank you so much for listening to The Light of Truth. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com.
Okay.
If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all